T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We found an article in the San Francisco Gate by journalist Patrick Riley, who is kind enough to join us now, about the Bay Area's impact in name, image, and likeness, and kind of shedding light on what it's like been in these 6 months and how Cal and Stanford and San Jose State are approaching it. And thank you, Patrick, for taking a few minutes for us. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You know, this is a really interesting angle that you took into this article, because immediately when name, image, and likeness came out, people kind of looked at, all right, this might be the West Coast's big in for recruiting, and especially in the Bay Area schools with big tech. Cal and Stanford, it was kind of a no-brainer that they would reap the benefits of having the tech companies in their own backyard. But you're kind of finding that that's not really what we're seeing in the first 6 months. What is the status of name, image, and likeness for the two Pac-12 schools down there?
Yeah, I think in talking with some of the administrators and student athletes and experts, it sounds like big tech and Silicon Valley at large hasn't really taken that much interest in necessarily partnering up with student athletes. There's some notable exceptions. FTX, the cryptocurrency exchange, they've got an office in downtown Berkeley. But overall, it seems like schools are mostly leveraging Silicon Valley as sort of an educational tool. So Stanford, for instance, had Meta come in to conduct some seminars, educational NIL seminars for student athletes. But at least so far, it seems like big tech hasn't necessarily taken a great interest in partnering with student athletes in the Bay Area.
Now, do you think that's because, and I could be very wrong here, but it seems like when you have companies like a Google, like a Meta, like who all base in Silicon Valley, but bring in so many people from across the country because they want the best of the best working for them, there isn't that same tie to the town that they actually work in, right? Because maybe they didn't go to Cal, they didn't go to Stanford, and there's so many things to do in the Bay Area that Cal and Stanford are not necessarily the hottest tickets in town, unless you're talking about the Stanford women's basketball team. Do you think that that plays a role in it too, that even though they're in the backyard, there's maybe not as many actual local familial ties to these programs?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, I think talking with some of the school officials and administrators, they, even as far as early on as last summer, didn't necessarily expect sort of Fortune 500 companies to get involved in the NIL space right away. They were looking at more so, startup type companies that are trying to make a name for themselves and are perhaps trying to attract key demographics to sort of take an interest in NIL. I have spoken with some experts who seem to think that geography might matter going forward, but that, in some cases, it's maybe more important that you have an alumni base that takes a great interest in your school and in your sports, right? Obviously, you all are all familiar with that with Phil Knight in Oregon. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think it might be, there's a lot going on in big tech, and they're obviously global companies that maybe necessarily aren't drawn to college sports right away.
We're talking with Patrick Riley, he's a journalist in the San Francisco Gate right now. He's got an article up about new laws allowing NIL to cash in for the Bay Area schools, and it's just not there right now. You know, this is a question that I have about. It's undeniable that alumni from Cal and Stanford are extremely successful. I mean, yes, they are very successful. Is there concern, though, that they just don't care about sports, though?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm talking with some of the people for the story. I think what they're telling me, you know, some of the folks that have been watching this space for a while, they seem to think that, you know, the top programs are still the ones that are going to, you know, have the greatest impact when you talk about NIL and that success on the field and in the gym sort of translates, you know, to NIL interest right away. So for us, the approach here was just trying to figure out what has that looked like in the Bay Area. And yeah, I think, you know, naturally the most high profile student athletes and the most high profile programs are gonna draw the biggest eyeballs and interest in NIL.
The other thing that I thought was really interesting in your article is the amount of money that has been had, I guess, through NIL deals, but the median is so different in the amount that a lot of student athletes are getting. So what did you find in your research for this story about how much money is being doled out via NIL versus what the majority of the athletes are actually getting for each of these deals?
Yeah, I think that was one of the most interesting parts in for me in reporting the story is just seeing how much variance there is with deals and how relatively small some can be, right? We're talking about, you know, maybe $50 for a social media post here and there to maybe a few $1,000s for some for signing trading cards to, you know, at the top end at Cal, at least. And we've heard or I've been told there's one athlete at least that has made, you know, more than $10,000 in NIL deals. So even in the Bay Area, there's a wide sort of variance. And then nationally, you're seeing that kind of reflect as well with some of the data from Influencer, where, you know, median transactions are in the 1300s, but median transactions are in the $50 range, but average transactions are in the 1300 range. So, yeah, I think there's a wide sort of disparity in terms of what you can garner here as an athlete. And most folks seem to think that that might sort of even out over time. But from the people that I spoke with, at least right now, you know, it can range anywhere from getting some free gear and getting some free product to, you know, making a few $1,000s here and there, which obviously is still a huge benefit to student athletes as opposed to what was possible before July 1st.
Yeah, there is an interesting story that you told in there about Nick Starkle, the star quarterback at San Jose State, who's using Open Doors, where we've had some folks on from Open Doors to talk about NIL here before, that they have a really cool feature that gives you recommendation. And it appears that some of these student athletes are getting lowballed based on what the valuation would be. Is this kind of be something where over time, what feeling are you getting that maybe agents or marketing managers will be taking over to make sure that the fair market value is being given to these student athletes, as opposed to a guy like Chase Garbers or Nick Starkle, who've done it on their own to this point?
Yeah, I think, you know, in reporting the story out and talking with some of the people in and around NIL, you know, on the one hand, I think in talking with experts, you know, companies are trying to get into the game for a relatively cheap price at this point because they don't know yet if it'll be beneficial, right? There's still a large degree of risk for them. And so that might be why they're, you know, lowballing or undercutting in some cases. But then to your point, yeah, I think managers, that's something that some of those student athletes have talked to me about too. You know, they've had friends or others who've taken advantage of managers and in helping them navigate this space. So I think that could potentially be going forward, be something that we see a lot more and becomes more common because it is, I think, for student athletes, kind of difficult to navigate all this when you're having your school responsibilities and sports responsibilities on top of now trying to find NIL opportunities. So I think any type of assistance or support that they can get going forward is probably going to be helpful.
Well, and some of the support that we've seen schools step up is like the Golden Program at Cal, right, which is like a resource-based program at the university itself to help set student athletes up to succeed. How big of an impact do you think programs like that at each individual school are having? Because some students are certainly taking advantage of it. And some of them are also saying, yeah, I haven't really used it. I think it's a great resource, but I haven't used it. How much do you think that these programs are brand new, right? But how much do you think is over time these programs are going to figure out actually where the gaps are and where they need to step in, either from a knowledge or from an actual resource perspective to benefit student athletes at their programs?
Yeah, I think, you know, talking with the school administrators, I think their goal is, you know, you have players like Garbers or other high profile athletes who come from a sort of business background. Their family is well versed in the business world. And so they might feel like they can go out on their own and have been, you know, successful in doing so. But I think what schools are trying to target or sort of really do here with these programs is lift everybody else up, right? The student athletes that might not be able to tap into those backgrounds. So that seems to be the main goal of these kind of golden programs and Cardinal Connect is education and being able to show student athletes who are not really familiar with the business world what is possible or what is out there. There are also some limitations for the schools and the institutions on what they can do, right? There's they can sort of provide educational opportunities and resources, but they can't necessarily, help them, I think, evaluate specific deals or tell them one way or other what to do. There's still sort of a learning curve as well on that. And so I think, yeah, a lot of this is still very new to all of them, including the schools and the student athletes. So we'll see how that develops.
You know, before we let you go, there's like this big question kind of that's looming over name, image, and likeness. And that is it good for college sports as it's so new and everybody's trying to navigate it? What is the sense that you're getting after talking to so many people from, you know, the administration side to the athletes to, you know, you even have the lawyer who helped draft the NIL law in Florida? Is it a good thing for college sports right now? And do you think big changes will be coming to NIL?
Yeah, I think from all the people I talked to for this story, I think the overall feeling and sentiment was that, you know, NIL is something that's well received in college sports. For the student athletes, obviously, it's an opportunity to sort of finally make some money on the side while they're still enrolled in school and capitalize on their success or on their brand. I think the administrators are also sort of taking this head on and look upon it favorably. And I think going forward, what some of the interesting developments might be, and this isn't in the story, but sort of in talking with school officials at Cal, for instance, I think there might be sort of licensing deals that going forward could become sort of a bigger deal where you have, the NCAA video game, for instance, where student athletes, it's a lower bar for them to clear in terms of the effort that they perhaps have to put into some of these deals where they can just sort of sign on with these deals and sort of get a cut from the sales of a video game, for instance. So I think in talking with administrators, that seems to be something they're looking at going forward, co-branding opportunities and licensing type deals where sort of a large swath of student athletes might be able to benefit from NIL at sort of a relatively low sort of input for them.
Patrick Riley, his piece is up at the San Francisco Gate right now. I encourage you all to go check it out about name, image, and likeness in the Bay Area. Thank you for the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you all for having me. I really appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows.
Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.